You're listening to the NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network, part of Sports Illustrated, giving you daily NFL Draft, Dynasty, and Devy Fantasy Football podcasts.
Into the Dynasty Draft Room presented by Sports Illustrated's NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network. I am your host, Anthony Carenti, joined by my co-hosts, Ryan Searfoss and Eric Adams. Boys, we are 1 week through the NFL season. How are we feeling today?
I am ready to overreact on absolutely everything.
Yeah, for the show, I'm excited to overreact on stuff. For actual NFL, we're all 0-1, fellas. Great day, great week.
I didn't want to talk about it, man. Yeah. I was sad. Mine was the closest. I was sad. I should have won. I'm bitter. So I'm gonna pretend it didn't happen.
Yeah, we'll glance right over the losses. We're gonna get into the fun.
It's 17 game season. A lot of time left.
Plenty of time left.
A lot of time left.
Well, like we alluded to on today's show, we are going to be overreacting to everything from week one in the NFL. Before we get into that, just a reminder, this is a daily podcast feed filled with analysts and experts providing unmatched insight into the NFL, college football, and fantasy football. We provide this feed totally ad-free, and all we ask in return is that you leave us a five-star rating and check out our written content over at si.com/NFL/draft. So we kind of alluded to it. Football's back in all of its glory. And now's the time to victory lap takes we had in the offseason, because it's been 1 week. So we've got plenty of data to make sweeping conclusions about nearly everything. So we're either right about everything or we're tilting about stuff that we were wrong about. We've each got two things we're overreacting to. Eric, kick us off. What is your first one that we're getting into?
All right. So that was a great Thursday night game between the Dallas Cowboys and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The first thing I'm going to overreact to is Ezekiel Elliott. Rushing 11 times for 33 yards. That's 3 yards per carry. And 2 receptions for 6 yards. So I'm just going to say this right now. He's washed. You could take his Ewok-looking ass back to Endor, because he's just terrible now. Tony Pollard's a better player. And I never want to see Zeke again. That's the way it is in the NFL. You hit 27 as a running back, and you're old. So give your knees to somebody younger. Or actually don't. Never mind. Maybe somebody younger can give your knees to them, but we're not going to do that because you're 27. So, yeah, he's done. He's quiched. Goodbye. Was that good enough? Was that a good enough start? I like that end of the line.
Yeah, it is an overreaction. Ryan, you got anything to add about Zeke?
I feel like after each overreaction, we should kind of bring it back down to reality.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not super worried. I feel like this exact same word is going to be thrown around a lot. A lot of this was game scripted the way that game went. Like, Zeke's in an offense that threw the ball an absurd amount of times because they're in shootout this week. Tampa was scoring anytime they wanted, and Dallas had to answer back, and apparently establishing the run didn't do that for them. CeeDee Lamb was uncoverable. Amari Cooper is uncomfortable. Why are you running when you're scoring anytime you want a passing ball? Like, Zeke will be there. Zeke may not be the 30-touch guy that he used to be, but he's still going to be a playable fantasy asset and probably a top-ball running back. But holy cow, man, I didn't expect them to go that far away from the run.
Yeah, you can go.
So where I'm at with Zeke and – overreactions aside, but this is one that I don't know. There's some truth in it on this one for me. Most of the offseason, Zeke was somebody that I was avoiding in dynasty formats. In redraft, I thought he was, a fine target where he was going.
Yes.
But I think that my problems with Zeke and why I was kind of avoiding him this offseason or trying to move on from him last year where I had him in dynasty is that I think game script from this particular game aside, like, I think that's going to be the case for this team a lot this year. Like, I think they're going to throw the ball a lot. And I know, like, yeah, like, I think they're going to throw the ball a ton. And also, I know, like, small sample size, but Tony Pollard's got juice. And I think he, as the season goes on, Tony Pollard is going to find a way to work himself more onto the field. Not saying it'll be a full-blown timeshare, but I think closer than it's ever been before and what we've seen from Zeke before. So I think, you know, is every week for him going to be week one? No. Like, he'll definitely have better games, but I think the days of him being, you know, true workhorse every down back are probably nearing the end here.
Yeah, I get on board with that.
The touches were 13-7.
Yeah.
Like,
for Zeke and Pollard, yeah.
Yeah. So we can see Zeke with the – I mean, he's still going to get 55, maybe 60% of the market share, which is great for most running backs. But we expect Zeke to be in that 65-70% because that's what we're used to, and it may not be there now.
It's not going to be there. And that's the way it's going to be.
I love that.
All right, Ryan, who's the first guy that you want to overreact to?
I want to overreact on this guy who has 2,500 yards in the last two seasons. Or, sorry, 3,500 yards in the last two seasons. And how many touchdowns do we have now? Oh, I can't do that much math, but 33 touchdowns. And that's Derrick Henry, man. He came out there and on 17 attempts only rushed for 58 yards and didn't get to the end zone. Like, I don't know. I know he's going to get back better, but my man has 682 carries in 2 years. He's been running to the ground. I don't know if Arizona's defense is as good as they look this week. They locked him down. He went from averaging over 5 yards a carry the last two seasons to 3.4 this year. Like, is the wall coming? We mentioned with Zeke, 27 years old. And then the quarterback situation was slowing him down as well because Tennessee wasn't moving the ball in the passing game. I know this offense is supposed to be explosive, but are we taking a hit here? Like, do they get shut down by a little bit more than last year because defense isn't good? They may not run as much. Like, there's a lot of questions with this because they've had some change, and we've kind of just looked beyond it with Tennessee.
You know, with Tennessee, if you go ahead 24-6 like Arizona did, Derrick Henry's not a factor anymore. That's just how you shut him down.
But the thing is, he still had 17 attempts. Like,
they have to try, but you can't run that much when you're down 24-6. You need to start throwing the ball. And when you started throwing the ball, Chandler Jones just came in and destroyed your house. He's destroyed your house. He put some gasoline on it. He burnt it to the ground, and then he pissed on the asses. That's what happened. It was real bad.
An overreaction. That is
Taylor Lewan got beat on so bad.
And Taylor Lewan's a good tackle.
Or Taylor Lewan's washed. Like, everybody's
Taylor
washed.
Lewan's washed. Like, overreaction.
But no, like,
I love this show.
I think I'm not that worried about Derrick Henry. It's going to come back to the ground. But their defense isn't as good as it was last year. Because it was a very good defense last year. And they play ball control. If they don't get out the big leads and leads early, that volume might not be there either. Like, Derrick Henry goes from top three running back to 12-15. He turns into, I feel like this is me, but I don't say David Montgomery. But David Montgomery's been playing really, really well.
David Montgomery looks like he's got some juice right now.
I feel disrespectful saying it like that, but like that kind of role. But
I just want to overreact to one more thing here. A.J. Brown and Julio Jones are terrible, and Chester Rogers led the team in receiving, so he's the best receiver on the team. Pick him up.
Did we expect Arizona to come out like this? Like, we all love Kyler. He was me and Anthony's QB1, but holy cow. I didn't expect their defense to shut down. I didn't expect them to just destroy Tennessee.
That's a huge win for them. I hate to ever say like any week one game is like must win, but that win sets the tone for them a little bit.
That's a tone setting game, man. That's, we came here to F things up. Like, that's,
yeah,
they look like a good team. I don't know how you slow down that offense.
If it wasn't for New Orleans, that would have been easily the most impressive victory of the week.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah. And on Henry, kind of similar to Zeke. I mean, I hate to be like the downer on, and I hate to call them old, but older running backs. It's like
they're dirt.
Yeah, that's true. We're overreacting. Yeah. They are done. What? Put a stick of fork in them. They're cooked. But same thing like a year ago before Henry signed that extension, I was like, I think it's time to probably trade off the Derrick Henry shares because how long can this go on for? But the other problem with that is like him as a runner works great when like that offense is humming at the level of efficiency that it was for the last, year and a half or year and three quarters since Tannehill came in. But if it's not doing that, and to Eric's point, like if they get down 24-6 or whatever it was, it gets a lot harder for a guy like that that isn't a pass catcher to, stay involved as much as we would like him to be or as much as anybody needs him to be for whatever you've invested in him from a fantasy perspective.
Yeah. And honestly, from a dynasty perspective, for both of these guys, because the situations are more similar than a lot of people know, if they have a stretch of a couple good weeks against bad teams, it might be time to get out from under that.
Oh, I 100% agree.
Like, I think it's time to get out from under those guys and move on, but don't do it now. Do not do it while people are truly overreacting, like we're kind of making fun of tonight. But, like, get out from under when they have good weeks, because those good weeks will come.
Very true.
Wait till Henry plays the Texans and he scores three touchdowns and has like 400 yards.
Yeah, that is the time. This is the way.
Then get rid of them. Same things that happen to Zeke when they play like the Giants and they have a nice lead. Get rid of them once he has that and don't get sold short.
Yeah. Jeez. Which has been tough through this point. Like in the offseason, it was, everybody is was kind of stuck, I think, with their Henry and Zeke shares because nobody wanted to overpay for them. And on the flip side, nobody wanted to sell them low either. So they become kind of those players sometimes where it's like, well, hopefully you're built to chase a championship because they're probably going to finish up on your roster.
Yeah, but if you're not, there's so many injuries right now at running back. And
yeah, for everywhere. Sure.
There's got to be a sell window for them. A team who's in the running for a championship has a running back go down. You take all their draft capital and their young talent. Like, you make – There's money on the line. They got to sell that to you, and you're not going to get better options for a 1 or 2 year row.
Yeah, it's a great point. All right, I'm going to keep it with running backs. We've tried running back so far. So I'm going to give you a running back that was drafted to be, a back end running back one when he shouldn't have been. I pounded that drum all offseason long. He probably should have been valued like a mid to low running back two, but that's neither here nor there. But he's a pass catcher. So it's going to keep him involved. It's going to keep him scoring fantasy points at a clip that we need him to in a high octane passing offense. And now he is on pace for zero receptions, zero targets. I'm talking about Austin Eckler. This has been a mirage all offseason, the Austin Eckler dance. Everybody wanted to say, we prop up that Phillip Rivers season. Everybody wanted to tell you that he was going to catch 90 some passes again, even though he's only done it once. It was only one time he had all those targets. This is a guy who pretty much always averages right around 4 yards per carry. Like, he's not a big time runner. He fell into the end zone this year this past week. Unfortunately, it's probably going to come pretty close to some of his rushing touchdown totals for the year. He's not a rushing touchdown guy. So Austin Eckler, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. He's not going to be the running back one everybody hoped for, especially if it's to the tune of 11 carries, 53 yards, and one touchdown every week with zero involvement in the passing work. He's done. Move on.
Anthony, I hate to be the contrarian here, but he's on pace for 17 rushing touchdowns.
In all seriousness, though, like, while I had to overreact to Austin Eckler because that was kind of – became sort of synonymous with me over the offseason. But this legitimately was my concern with Austin Eckler, was that this offense would throw the ball a ton and we'd get more Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, and maybe some involvement with the tight ends. And no, he's not going to catch no passes and have zero targets for the year. But I'd be worried. I'd be worried if I was relying on Austin Eckler.
Dude, yeah, I mean, I don't know, like, why I wasn't talking about more. Justin Herbert's not the type of quarterback we saw before Phillip Rivers.
Yeah, he's going to push it downfield.
He's Exactly. He's looking to push the ball downfield. He has the weapons to do it. And I mean, even Jalen Guyton had three catches, and KJ Hill, like, they even got like literally everybody involved. Even Justin Jefferson involved in the passing game, and not Austin Eckler. I think Eckler's going to be a mid to low end RB2 now, if on the positive note. Like, I don't know. I can't see him being – he's not a grinded out guy. I don't know what game script really works for Austin Eckler to make him an RB1.
I cut out there because I just could not take the Eckler slander anymore. But now that I'm back, I'm going to give you one positive. I'm going to give you one negative for Austin Eckler. The positive is their O-line – road graded Washington, like, yeah. And Washington is an incredible D line, and yeah. They just
that all I'm good. Oh, yeah. Rashawn Slater is a man.
Oh boy, fantastic. So Eckler has a hell of a line in front of him. That's the positive. Here's the negative: LA, and this fits what Herbert is, kind of wants to push the ball down the field. If they're going to want to push the ball down the field, they're not going to throw a toss to Eckler. There's no dump offs there. So we'll see what happens in the coming weeks, because this could go either way here. Either he could turn into an actual good running back with a good run-blocking O-line in front of him, or he really just becomes, you know, a bottom wide or bottom running back three who does not get the targets that we expected, to which Anthony will victory lap. Which
I promise I will. if he gets, look, I hope for his sake it works for him.
I think you want him to be an RB3. I think you do.
Just so I can retweet the bold prediction show. That's it. Just so I can retweet that show where I said he'd finish outside the top 24.
Real quick before we go on to round two here, did Tutu Atwell even get a snap? Did he even get a snap?
I don't think so. I don't recall seeing him out there.
I'm going to overreact and say Sean McVay's the worst coach in the league.
He doesn't know that our guy Tutu needs to be out there. Get Deshaun Jackson off the field. More
I got a
Tutu.
Letter coming.
Yeah.
Sean.
I felt really bad. I had to cut him in the league this week.
How dare.
I couldn't do it, man.
I might have to cut him in that one league that I got him in. I took him. I'm like, oh, well, I at least expected him to get on the field, and he did not. So
we've rebounded to being Tutu positive, and now, you know, we're cutting him from leagues. So Tutu. We're off. Apologies again.
He had no stats this week.
We are off the 2-2 train.
We're jumping off. Barely got rolling.
2-2. That's all right.
All right, Eric. Plus, let's hear your second overreaction.
Oh, no. All right. Well, I have always been a Jameis Winston fan. Let me just say that first and foremost. Always been a huge fan of the guy. Never said a single bad thing about him. Just want to preface that with, you know, everything. Jameis had quite a week. Let's see here. 14 of 20, 140. How the hell did he even do this? I got to rewatch this game.
It's so weird. 20, it's such a weird stat line.
This is a weird stat line. 148 yards and 5 touchdowns. Green Bay. What happened, dude?
So literally every 4 touchdowns. Or yeah, give him, every 4 passes or touchdowns.
Listen. Yeah. We've seen Joe Montana, Dan Marino, Tom Brady. Welcome to the club, Jameis. Going to the Hall of Fame. Everyone go get their eyes checked out now, because now he's not Squinston anymore. He actually he can see. This is like Rick the Wild Thing Vaughn from what's the movie Major League? Major League. It's like when he got the glasses, he was like squinting. He's like, what's he looking at? And now he can throw his fastball over the plate. That's Jameis Winston now. It's the NFL equivalent. We can have a movie. We can get the All-State guy that I didn't even know was the All-State guy for the longest time to play Pedro Serrano. You never know that? Ryan's looking at me like, I didn't know the All-State guy was Pedro Serrano. Yeah, it is. Wow. That's All-State stand. Are you in good hands? That's Pedro Serrano. Believe it or not.
Wow.
Exactly. I just blew a lot of minds.
Bringing it full circle,
yes.
Pedro Serrano prayed to Jabu in the movie, and Winston's name on Twitter is
Jabu.
Oh, man.
Full circle. Winston, MVP. Super Bowl champion.
I'm LASIK ready. Jameis going to hoist the Lombardi.
Oh, it'll be a beautiful thing. Also, I'm going to overreact to this, but this is not much of an overreaction. Sean Payton made Drew Brees. There you go.
I love that.
Any Saints fans listening, sneak just that one in there. Flip this off 100%.
Yeah, we've just lost.
We just lost every person in New Orleans.
We lost like six views because that's all the Saints have. Because they're not looking after Drew Brees left. On a real note, I think Sean Payton's a good coach for Winston. I'm as a Florida State fan, I'm really watching college. And Jimbo Fisher was a nut job and screamed at players and ruled with an iron fist. Sean Payton doesn't allow no messing around either. And he probably has Jameis listening and kind of in check and doesn't say, hey, man, just throw the ball 50 times to Mike Evans and see what he comes down with. Like, he doesn't have that. He made good decisions. He spread the ball around. I mean, eight different guys catching a passes. That's not what Jameis Winston does. He locks on to one guy. And don't worry about Marcus Callaway. It was one game, and he had Jair Alexander on him. So just tossing that out there. But he's not going to perform like this every week, but we might legit see a very good improvement Wednesday with sufficiency.
Yeah, I hope it's – I would love to see, like, a crazy stat line like that every week where he throws five touchdowns and only – like, doesn't even get to 200 yards. It'd be hilarious. But the – big, like, real takeaway for me is that it's not like there's not bad news in store for other Saints fantasy options. Like, Kamara is going to be fine. I agree, Callaway is going to be fine. He just got locked up by Jair Alexander, who's one of the better young corners in the league.
Yeah, he locks out everybody.
Yeah, like, he's a stud.
DeAndre Hopkins, right?
Yeah, everybody. He's a stud. It would be a pretty good story to see Jameis, you know, kind of find his footing in this second spot after he moves on from Tampa. So I hope it works out for him. And I hope he hits the 85 passing touchdowns that he's on pace for. It'd be a great story.
It'd be great. It's the best story.
All right, Foz, what's your second overreaction?
I'm going right the other side of the field. And we're talking where Jameis Winston had the most efficient quarterback play you could even imagine. We're looking at 15 for 28, 133 yards, zero touchdowns, two interceptions, from last year's MVP. And I don't understand where it came from. I've joked around all offseason saying if Aaron Rodgers plays, he's going to come out, not play Jay Cutler style, not care, just kind of sling it and teach the Packers for treating him the way he did. And he played like my insane theory was right. And this whole team just was atrocious. Aaron Jones, 1.8 yards a carry. Kylan Hill got as many carries as Aaron Jones. Aaron Rodgers got pulled for Jordan Love, who was also not good. Like, this.
Whoa. Rough. 5 of 7 for 68 yards. You could be way worse.
He could be way worse. He could have been like Aaron Rodgers. But what the F? Devontae Adams, I guess, was okay for what he had working with, but this is bad, man. Like, I don't think the Saints defense is that good this year. Like, it's talented, but it's not hold the MVP, the man who threw five interceptions last year, total of two. Like, I don't know if he's in it. His heart's in it.
The smirking on the sideline. Like, I hate to, like buy into that.
Yeah. He was smirking on the sideline after that.
I hate to buy into it, but he looked way too happy.
He is sabotaging Green Bay. That is not an overreaction. That is the truth. I truly believe it. About week 8, he'll start hosting Jeopardy midweek. And nobody's going to bat an eye about that except for Green Bay fans. He had 1.32 fantasy points. That's 1.32 fantasy points more than Eli Manning, Drew Brees, Joe Namath, all those guys are retired, so that's never good. I think the sky is falling in Green Bay. He's not going to be there next year. That'll hopefully make your team a little better. Go Jordan Love. Devontae Adams is going to leave. There's no hope, no silver lining. Am I forgetting anything?
Do you think he was snickering when he's like, hey, can I have Randall Cobb back and start him?
Yeah.
He's like, these idiots, I have on a hook. Give me my boy back, who doesn't even make a difference.
He's trying to get a paycheck. He needs a new Lambo. Like,
it's a very weird situation there.
What? Like, what happened? Like, I didn't have this game on TV. I didn't see it. Like, how are you so... Where did this come from? I don't think he's ever had this bad of a game since maybe his rookie, like his first year starting.
I think he's been largely overrated for his whole career.
And now that he's a saboteur, you know, this is what we're gonna get.
This is the plan. This
multiple
the plan
picks
all along.
On a weekly basis.
I'm gonna say, if he truly is sabotaging them, I have so much respect for him.
I would gain a lot of respect.
Like, real evil villain move.
Yeah. Aaron Rodgers heel turn. Love it.
Oh yeah, I'm here for it. I'm here for it.
I'm still gonna try to buy him cheap right now.
Oh yeah, 100%.
Like, it's for real to buy.
They played the Detroit Lions on Monday Night Football this week. Watch what he does to the Lions this week.
Yeah, that's a get right game.
like, he's fine. Now, if this happens against the Detroit Lions,
sound the alarms.
Sky is falling.
That insanity really is taking place. But in all reality, it's going to come back to normal. This was just weird. Him and Jameis did like a body swap.
Yeah, real. What's that movie? Real Freaky Friday.
The Aaron Rodgers, James Winston did a Freaky Friday.
Right. Yeah, that might be the most plausible thing. All right, well, I got one more here for you. And fantasy football, it's a serious game. Right, I take this game seriously. Like, I don't want to say I'm a professional, but I'm expecting the players on my roster to act like professionals. Okay. And perform at a level that a professional would. And Brandon Ayuk is at best the third best pass catching option for the San Francisco 49ers. Also on pace for zero passing game involvement, similar to my other guy, Austin Eckler. So until Brandon Ayuk learns how to play the pro game, we'll just have to remember that all of his fun success that we saw last year was when Kittle was hurt, when Debo was hurt, one of those times. And we'll have to see if he can get it together. But until then, Brandon Ayuk, cut from the team. Put him on the bench. He's done.
I'd like to name some wide receivers who put up more fancy points than him this week. Freddie Swain. Mike Thomas. Not Michael Thomas for the New Orleans Saints. Mike Thomas for the Bengals. Tyron Johnson. I don't even know who he is. CJ Board.
Muhammad. Trinity Benson.
His teammate, Muhammad.
This is
Samir.
A fun game.
I mean, 121 receivers put up fantasy points this week.
Brandon Ayuk, not one of them.
Who was a six-round dynasty pick, put up Gusek.
So, I think that Brandon Ayuk is a very good player. And I think, you know, this probably has something to do with that lingering hamstring or whatever he had injury-wise. And he'll probably find his way onto the field sooner than later and contribute to both his team and fantasy teams everywhere. But it is a little concerning to me that we kind of just ran with it, a lot of people in the offseason, about how he was going to be the guy there without factoring in, you know, Kittle coming back healthy, Debo coming back. So I think with both those guys there, to say Debo was involved is an understatement. But Debo and George Kittle both showed, I mean, they're going to be big, big pieces of this offense on a weekly basis.
Yeah, I mean, Debo's their wide receiver one now. Like, we hinted at it, and because of last year with Ayuk being out, I'm sorry, with Ayuk being the only guy healthy, he stepped up, which is awesome for him. But Debo is a clean receiver who does it all. George Kittle's a freaking monster. He's fighting for targets, man. Yeah, you said earlier, he's at best their third target, and what his draft capital was, the way he's viewed, that's not it for fantasy. We need the pump breaks a little bit, not 121, Trent Sheffield, catch more balls than him, and be drafted over him, but maybe he's that ninth round guy or tenth round guy, not a sixth.
Can I overreact to one more thing?
Yeah, please. I was just going to say, do we have any last overreactions before we get on out of here?
Jimmy Garoppolo and Jared Goff, are they the two best quarterbacks of their respective teams of all time? Jimmy Garoppolo, 17 to 25, 314 yards and a tutty. I think he's the best San Francisco 49ers quarterback of all time. They haven't had anyone good. And Jared Goff, holy hell, man. 38 to 57, 338 yards, three tutties. I think he really is the best Lions quarterback of all time, and I'll take him over everyone. Like, you know, Dan Orlovsky and Cleo Lemon. I don't even know if he played for the Lions, but he was terrible. And a bunch of other guys that are real bad. So, Jared Goff, welcome to the Hall of Fame.
On a real note, speaking of Jared Goff and the Lions, T.J. Hawkins and DeAndre Swift did exactly what everybody should have believed they were going to do.
Yep.
Produce and get looks. Like, T.J. Hawkinson is going to be in that argument for top three tight ends this year. Not an overreaction. That's realistic.
Yeah.
He was dominant. He got targeted a ton. And it's not going to change. Like, he is a legit threat to the top tight end spot right now.
I don't want to name any names. I don't want to throw anyone under the bus here, but the fantasy football detective, was he the one who really didn't like DeAndre Swift? He was definitely the one who didn't like DeAndre Swift. I saw him have a lot of tweets about DeAndre Swift.
There's been a lot of people hating DeAndre Swift.
There were.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, I tweeted this out. You saw a rookie running back get 57 targets last year, and they have a negative game script this year. They're going to be throwing a ton. He catches balls out of the backfield, and a lot of you people in the fantasy community just went, nah. That's terrible.
That was the shocking thing all offseason to me, was that people were like, well, they're going to be a bad team. It's like, well, you just saw him be a good fantasy option in the passing game. Like,
if he was Derrick Henry, like he was a Derrick Henry style running back who didn't catch passes. Yes, that's the case. But guess what? He is a phenomenal pass catcher. He is a better pass catcher than most of the receiving core.
People should have loved DeAndre Swift for all the reasons they say they love Austin Eckler.
Right. He had 11 targets. It's going to take Austin Eckler two seasons to get that.
Yeah, how many targets did Austin Eckler have? Zero. Boom.
Zero. It's going to take the rest of his career to get 11 targets. But, like, why? Why do we overreact on things like that when it doesn't make sense? It's just freaking common sense.
That's what we're here to do. React.
That's it.
I'm not the sharpest light bulb in the shed. DeAndre stuff made sense.
Yeah, it was a weird one to get away from.
And yes, it's the sharpest tool in the shed.
I was about to say, we don't keep light bulbs in the shed.
It's the brightest bulb out there. Yeah, I know what it's.
The brightest bulb in the drawer.
Sure.
All right. Well, that's going to wrap it up for this week's episode of the Dynasty Draft Room. Thank you for listening to the Dynasty Draft Room presented by Sports Illustrated's NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network. We're going to be back with more of the Dynasty Draft Room next week, but be sure to tune in tomorrow to hear from our friends on the Blitz for all of your college fantasy football needs. And we will be back next week.
Later, taters. RIP Norm.